Renegade Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Renegade Roundtable. Thank you so much for joining me here tonight. This is the first time that the Roundtable has been on a Friday night. This is what it will be from now on at 8 p.m. until that changes, potentially, at some point. I am glad to have the schedule at 8 p.m. every night of the week from here on out, ideally, and We'll see what happens in the future. Who comes on, who might leave. It's always entertaining here on the network, and we're always getting some fresh perspectives, and that is what the Roundtable is all about, is getting your perspective on the issues of the day and our age in general. Not just about current events, but oftentimes when I'm hosting the roundtable, I use it as an outlet to discuss what is going on in our here and now. While on my own show, which is, of course, Sunday nights, I will discuss certain topics more in depth, oftentimes, or do interviews where we're not going through and looking at the headlines from the week. But I do sometimes like to comment on such things. I don't like to spend way too much time on it, obviously, but sometimes I feel like I have a perspective that at least can be put out there. And I'm sure you do as well, which is why your call is needed here on this Black Friday. Yeah, it's Black Friday. Oh, and we're just seeing the best in human behavior, aren't we? Yeah, it's pretty extreme with the blacks out there. You see the videos of it, but come on. There are a lot of bad people from all different races who just, they look like such zombies going through the malls, rushing in as soon as the gates open, tearing each other apart, trying to get out the great deals. The great deals of Black Friday. Oh, and speaking of which, let's hawk some products here. Good. Healthy products. HeathenHerbs.com. You can get 20% off of anything in your order if you just type in White Friday, one word, as the coupon code. Yes, White Friday. And we'll have that going through tomorrow. And we'll see. Maybe even we'll extend it to Sunday. Although, I mean, come on, it is a Friday sale. And if you do miss this opportunity, you're listening to this in the archives a week from now, send me a message and I'll hook you up with something. How about that? It was just Thanksgiving, a rare night when Renegade Broadcasting is not up and running. And I was glad to take the night off. Charlie had a Thanksgiving to attend. And I said, hey, that's fine by me. I'm going to do something else with my time here in this slot. You know, it's not a whole lot running just the Renegade Broadcasting side of the network, except that let's just say you had to be in the same spot every single night at 8 p.m., from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. You couldn't ever be out, let's say, doing something, you know, have somebody close watch the child and go out and do something for a little bit, or yeah, no, that's not a possibility with Renegade. Renegade is, it's important though. It's very important. So this was something of my baby, my intellectual baby here, and has grown into quite a beast. Has it not? I am very much happy to see the direction that the network has been going. It is very productive what we're doing here in exposing all sorts of information about what the controllers of our world are doing to us and how we can fight back. Bill has done some shows recently. He did one on the environmental impact of the meat industry. He also did one on the booze industry, and that it is quite a Jewish industry, and they love us just being absolutely wasted. Some people in the comment section are making some interesting points just about the history of booze, white people. It doesn't have to be nearly as destructive as it is now, you know, and I agree with that. A lot of it has to do with people just being really depressed. You still allow a lot of the same vices out there as are currently available, such as all the different kinds of booze. But if you just had a healthier environment, people would not be drinking as much as they are drinking now. They are depressed and they are given alcohol to fill the hole in their soul. Isn't that the truth? So we had a very kind of gluttonous day yesterday. A lot of dead turkey carcasses, insanely huge, so far away from their natural state. Some of these huge birds that are killed for this day. I've got a Trump tweet here. It's just so ridiculous looking at these tweets. It looks like they're coming from, I don't know, a teenage girl sometimes. You know what I mean? Just kind of the way that it's or a teenage boy. Yeah, probably a teenage boy with some of it. Happy Thanksgiving, all caps. Your country is starting to do really well. Jobs coming back. Highest stock market ever, all caps. Military getting really strong. We will build the wall, all caps on wall. VA taking care of our vets. Great Supreme Court justice. Record cut, all caps. In regs. Lowest unemployment, 17 years. Dot, 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 dot. Exclamation point. This is our president. This is a guy who was going out in WWE. Making an ass out of himself. A WWE Hall of Famer. Yeah, he's in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. Going out to this song, money, 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 money. Yeah, that's our president. We are living in idiocracy. Oh, man. Record cutting regs. We're not going to let these libtards get in the way of big business. Or hunting exotic animals. Apparently he pulled back a little bit on the hunting of elephants. I don't know if the lions are still on the chopping block there. Let's just depopulate the world of all living sentient creatures, and we'll just leave some dumbed down humanoid slaves and robots to pretty much inherit the earth. It'll be a paradise. It'll be a Jewtopia here. Let's just spray all the bees. Okay, so we have a caller already here on the line. Let's see who this unknown caller is. I'm muting. Okay, hello, welcome. Who is this? Unknown caller. Yes. Am I screwing something up? Nope, they're not talking. All right. I'll leave it unmuted. If unknown caller wants to join in, go for it. Hey guys, have you seen all the heat that based Roy Moore is under right now? All the fire? He is under pressure. The libtards and the media are just going after based Roy Moore, and we just have to rally together and stick up for our guy. Because the GOP, okay, we got to make it great again. Yeah, it might stand for gay old pedophiles, but, I mean, there are gay old pedophiles, okay? Jeez. I don't even care. I don't know. I don't know if he was really going out on dates with 14-year-olds, but I wouldn't be too surprised. All right, I think I'm hearing something coming back at me. Is this the caller? Okay, no, somebody else called in. Here we go.
Kyle?
Yes. Welcome. Who's this?
Yeah, I was very concerned about the 5G network.
Yes, definitely.
I was talking with a friend of mine today.
Hey, could you speak up a little bit?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, maybe get a little closer to the phone, too.
Okay, how's this?
That's a little bit better. I'll try to bump you up on my end as well.
Okay, I'm about as close as I can get to the phone.
Okay, yeah, not a problem. It's understandable. Sometimes phone calls are kind of quiet. I can hear you. So you're talking about 5G. They're trying to put this everywhere. They've already started in on it. Now, this is something that is an imminent threat because of just what it has the potential to do to living organisms, namely us.
I was talking with a friend of mine today, and he went to his city council meeting Monday. And they've already passed an ordinance allowing for the telecommunication companies to install the small cell antennas on the poles around town.
Wow.
And, yeah. Just so right, it's right, in right, the works and running.
Right on the telephone poles. That's what they want to do.
Yes. And, well, they can even be on the sides of buildings or houses.
Yeah.
And there's going to be millions of these around the country.
You know.
And.
With 4G, I'm not saying that 4G is optimal or that it's good for us. What I'm saying is I think the speed is sufficient. You can watch YouTube video. What do you need to do with all the speed that 5G is supposed to afford us? It seems completely unnecessary. Why are they always trying to upgrade everything? It seems to be that there's a nefarious agenda here beyond just wanting to deliver us the latest high-speed technology.
Well, from what I've heard, these are going to be utilizing frequencies from 24 to 100 gigahertz, which we're talking about the microwave range there. And this has to be bad for human health.
Oh, you mean we're not supposed to be microwaved?
No.
I thought that was supposed to be good for us. Turned into superheroes.
They're also going to be putting sensors now in clothing and all other products you wear that will connect with the 5G network.
The Internet of Things.
You can buy a shirt, and it will be exposing you to RF radiation.
Yeah, it's called the Internet of Things, and what they want to do is chip everything. So everything that you get from your local Walmart, you know, with all the shirts, with all the food that you put in your fridge, they'll be able to actually monitor how much food you go through based upon all the chipped products that are going in and coming out of your refrigerator. And, I mean, it's all just connected together. And then you could even just analyze all the waste as well. I mean, there's so much information that is going to be gleaned off of all of these exchanges that are taking place in terms of microchips passing by this sensor or that.
And, I mean, I don't see how we can survive this. I mean, I don't know if I'm being an alarmist, but if there are millions of these small cell antennas emitting 100 gigahertz, I don't see how we can make it through that, really, long term.
Yeah, and that's just under normal operating conditions. We're not even talking about if it was deliberately turned into a weapon, which it could be.
Absolutely.
Right? If they just cranked it up, let's say with the cell phone towers, you could take out a whole town. Potentially. I haven't looked into really the amount of damage that could be done, but when you understand what a cell phone tower is capable of, how much they're sending up there in terms of energy, it's scary. It's frightening. Yeah.
You know, I've been thinking, I don't think we have any other option than to some way stop this. And the only thing I've seen, I'd like your input on this, if it's you think it's legitimate or not, but the InPower movement. Have you heard of them?
No, I haven't.
in power, IN power, they have what's called a notice of liability that they have been issuing to utilities and government officials around the country to stop smart meters. And they're saying they're having some effect with this, but I don't know if this is legitimate or not. I'd just like to get some, if you could look into that and get some input, see what you think about it.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'll take a look. Now, I know that they've been installing smart meters without the consent of owners, even breaking the law, breaking into property, you know, breaking in through a fence or whatever, in order to get these smart meters installed. And from what I understand, if they want to install one and you refuse, they can also just fine you. So you have to pay extra not to have their smart meter sending.
They put it in my town, and I've heard from people who when they were installing them, they refused. They said, no, I won't take them. Well, they just came back a few days later and put one on.
Yeah.
You know, it's just insane.
Yep. Yeah, it's...
Right now, I'm being exposed to one. I have a smart meter on my house. I did put up a what's called a smart meter guard, and I got an RF radiation detector. It did block the radiation quite a bit, but, I mean, there's still some I'm exposed to.
Yeah. Now, do you have an EMF detector?
It has to have a negative effect.
Do you have an EMF detector?
RF radiation detector.
Okay. And...
And I measured some around town, and I was getting readings as high as, like, I think it was 52 milliwatts per meter squared, which is pretty high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are...
And I've got mine down to under one now that I'm being exposed to.
That's great.
Because of the shielding I put up.
Have you looked into the paints at all?
I've read some about that. I don't have any at this time, but I would certainly consider it. I actually put up the smart meter guard. Have you seen those, by the way?
No, I haven't.
If you just look on YouTube, they have videos about it, and it's really awesome. It's kind of like a Faraday cage that you put over your meter, and it blocks quite a bit of the RF. And they also put some shielding on the wall in my house that's, you know, right behind the meter.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, apparently there are a lot of culprits that we don't even think about in terms of radiation. For example, just the electrical outlets. I'm looking right now in my room, and right where I lay my head every night, right, there's an outlet. And it's probably not that good for you. Because even though there's nothing plugged into it, it's still sending off radiation. There are things like of course, your computer, your laptop, which you shouldn't even put on your lap. And there are shields for that. Sinead actually got me a shield for that. What about headphones that people always have on, these earbuds?
Absolutely.
That's sending in radiation as well, not even talking about Bluetooth. There are solutions to a lot of these things that cut down on the radiation drastically. And one of them for the earphones is what Sinead got me for my birthday, and that would be these things called tubes. TUBEZ, and it has a speaker down further away from your ears, and then it just puts the sound going through these tubes, so literally just going through air up to your ears, and the sound's pretty good, and you don't have your brain being radiated by your skull candy earbuds. Not trying to name drop there. I just think it's interesting. They have if you've ever seen these, they have little skulls on the outside of the earbuds. So you're putting in these little skulls into your ears. They're called skull candy. And I'm just imagining that even though the sound might be good, it's not good for you, at least not for any extended period of time. And think about all the children who are off in their own little world. And this is the cheap alternative. They're putting their skull candies, and then what kind of effect is this going to have on their brain, their long-term viability as a thinking human?
Right. It's absolutely sickening. And most people don't even consider this. You know, everyone I've talked to, they think the 5G is wonderful. They think smart meters are great, cell phones, smartphones. Maybe a handful of people I've come across who have any concerns about the RF from this stuff.
I think part of it is that we want to trust our system We want to think that we're being protected, that if everybody is doing it, it's got to be okay. And it's so convenient, and it's so entertaining. There are all sorts of reasons why it's very difficult to give up these things. And if you do, you're going to be somewhat shunned. You're going to be seen as weird. You'll be ostracized a bit. You'll be seen as what are you, Amish?
You'll be completely. Around most people, if I talk about, I'm just completely ostracized. I do have a smartphone. I seldom use it. I use a flip phone, and people think I'm crazy for having a flip phone. That's considered, what are you doing? You should have a smartphone like everyone else.
Yeah, and even I have a smartphone, but even when I put it into airplane mode, where it's not sending off or re receiving signals, or at least so I think, right? They probably have some backdoors to that. It's still pretty much what used to be a supercomputer in my pocket if I'm walking around with it in my pocket. So there's not really a safe option with a lot of this technology.
Oh, absolutely.
At least
Did you have
not
an arc
available.
radiation detector?
I don't know.
I got a great one. It cost me like $150. It's a Coronet is the brand. And anyway, I think they're about $200 now. But I mean, it's well worth it, so you'll know exactly what you're exposed to.
Yeah, that certainly helps, knowing what's causing the most amount of problems in your area. And I for example, Shane just brought up to me that your refrigerator going off the back of that is a decent amount of radiation. And you just never think about this. It's not something we're ever taught about growing up, that you need to worry about certain things. But I do remember when microwaves first came around, and just the kind of paranoia about them. You stand really far back from them, and you don't want to get too close. That's what I remember hearing as a child. And then people just got so much more familiar with them that they wouldn't even think twice about putting their head right next to it. Oh, there's that mesh in there that's going to catch all the bad radiation, so I'm not going to be affected.
Well, how concerned are you personally? Like, if, I mean, and very conceivably, within the next 1 or 2 years, they could come and install one of these small cell antennas right outside your house. I mean, would you be freaking out? Would you be? I mean,
Yeah.
what would your response be?
What can you do? It seems like we should have legal recourse in that they're invading our properties. We should have property rights where we can opt out of being invaded. Yeah, even if we don't pay for it, we're still getting all of these invisible waves coming through us. I think that if there was to be perhaps a righteous legal group, you could at least launch some kind of class action, if to nothing else but to draw attention to this matter and get more people up in arms about it, because this is really one of those existential threats. And people know that you should not live by power lines, right? Isn't that pretty obvious? You look at some of the branches that grow near power lines and the crazy stuff that it does to them. You even just look at some of these experiments people have done trying to sprout seeds by a wireless router, and it just doesn't happen. So you look at what they're putting up now. This should be considered an act of war. They're putting up weapons right outside of your house and turning them on. And they have the potential to increase that and to just totally disrupt everything, every single cell in your body.
Well, when I was talking with my friend about the city council that passed this ordinance, there's no vote on it or anything. There's no public discussion. They simply pass the ordinance. And if I could read it's a very short paragraph, a couple sentences from an article on it's What You Need to Know About 5G Wireless and Small Cells by the Environmental Health Trust, if you want to look at that.
Yeah,
They
go
have a
right ahead.
sentence, and it says, "Community authority is overruled. Communities are being stripped of their right to make decisions about this new technology. Streamlining means almost automatic approval. Public notice and public hearings are being eliminated. Even if every homeowner on the block opposes the antennas on their street, the opposition will be disregarded.
Yeah. And this is how they get all of their stuff passed. It's not, even though I don't think that a democracy is ideal, it's not even a democracy. They didn't use democratic means to get Common Core jammed through. All of it is having the same effect. Dumbing down and destroying. That's, I mean, whether it's through the education, whether it's through the pharmaceuticals, whether it's through the 5G network, it's an assault. And it's just a question of how much are we willing to take and what can possibly be done about this.
Yeah. Did you see the video of Tom Wheeler, the head of the FCC, talking about the 5G rollout and how they're going ahead with it? No studies are going to be underdone, no health concerns. It's going to make tens of billions for U.S. companies, and that's all that matters, and it's coming, and we don't care about any of your questions or health concerns. Have you seen that video?
No, I haven't seen that, but I'm not surprised.
It's actually chilling to watch it.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm just very concerned about this, and you got little kids, and outside their bedroom window is going to be 100 gigahertz of microwave radiation.
And
I can't see them surviving that for very long.
Humans, even though we're supposed to be basically resonating with the Schumann resonance, let's say humans somehow are able to survive it. What about the bees? What about all sorts of other animals that are being screwed up by this? The plants? No consideration.
Plants will be damaged by this.
There's no consideration for all of the intricate web of life. No, it's so infuriating. And we often, lose track of some of these very important issues because the media gets people distracted with what Trump just said about this or that, or this recent little scandal over here, or, oh, it's going to be war with this country as they jockey for position. And people don't pay attention to some of these things that are even more of a threat right outside your bedroom window, as you're saying. Okay, you want to hang on? We'll talk a little bit more about this on the other side?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Sure.
Extra shekels? Well, join Juba. Juba, with their Jewish partners, the Italian Coast Guard and other NGOs, are recruiting now. We require sea taxi transporters to pick up Negroes out of the Mediterranean. The more bodies, the greater the pay. No sat-nav required. It is a one-way fare, and that is northwards to Europe. So join Juba today. Let's increase white genocide and make those shekels on the side. Juba, the transportation company.
welcome back. I'm speaking with a caller from Missouri, and we're talking about the 5G rollout and the implications of this, the repercussions upon the whole biosphere that we'll be seeing if this is successful. This could be the death knell right there, this network that's being installed right now. Hey, caller, I don't think I caught your name. What is your name?
My name is Steve.
Was that Steve?
Steve, uh-huh.
Okay, great. So, Steve, I've seen this scenario played out in a number of movies, actually. Kingsman would be one example. There was also a film I saw some years ago called The Signal. I'm pretty sure there's also one, Pulse. Pretty much the premise is that the cell network or just the wireless network in general is used to turn people into violent, you could say, zombies or just killing machines. And it's possible. They've been looking into this technology for a long time. I'm sure you've seen the video of the bull in the ring, which is charging. I think this was from the 60s, maybe even the 50s, where all the guy does is he flips a switch, remote control, because there's something embedded in the bull's brain. He flips off and he becomes completely passive, simply because they were able to alter the signals going on in the bull's brain. And this is a long time ago. Just imagine the technology that they wield right now. And then you factor in the nano dust and anything that could be sprayed from their whole aerosol spraying program that they have going on here now, Zog Fog, as Level 6 Toaster calls it. The chemtrails are another one of these things that it's just an act of war. And pretty much the way I see it is the only real solution is revolt, revolting against this system. I'm not saying how to do it necessarily. I'm just saying it needs to be done. All the different ways that they're destroying us and enslaving us. You just look at the financial system. That's another one of these things that just at any day, they could pull out the rug from underneath us and we'd be completely screwed because so many people are now dependent on this system. Another way to create zombies. So we need to tackle this head on and make sure that they don't succeed with their many agendas. And this is a very important one you bring up that I don't think does get enough coverage from people like us oftentimes.
Just a quick little aside here. During the break, I held my radiation detector up to my phone, and I just have a 5-6-year-old flip phone, and background radiation would be like about 0.003 milliwatts per meter squared, and I was getting anything from 1.7 milliwatts all the way up to 50 milliwatts. That's just off a little flip phone. So even with something like that, we're being exposed to a tremendous amount of RF. But as far as any kind of solutions, the only thing I've seen, and once again I don't know if it's legitimate or not, is this In Power movement, which you can find them at inpowermovement.com. And they have this notice of liability. They're saying they've had some effect, they've been successful in some extent in dealing with it in regard to smart meter deployment. But I would love for you to take a look at that and see if you think it's legitimate or if you think it's just another scam. And if you think that would be a way we could kind of move forward, because, I mean, I kind of think this is finally the line in the sand. If they deploy the 5G, I personally think it's game over. Once again, I may be overreacting, but I really think this is it.
What do you think?
We stop it now, I think we're done.
Okay, now, I'm not saying people go out and commit illegal acts, but what I will mention is an example here in that when the different speed cameras went up, it monitors people's speed, and the different traffic light cameras went up in certain locations, people just went out there and kept tearing them down. And in some instances, this worked in that the government just said, okay, well, fine, We give in and we'll stop doing this. If enough people started doing that, I think maybe a message would get sent. And if the people who were implementing this policy would feel a little uncomfortable being out in public, well, that could have a chilling impact as well.
Oh, yeah, but I personally, I know you can't do it on air, but I think I would encourage people to do illegal things at this time, because I think this is, I mean, once again, I may be overreacting, but I think this is do or die now.
Oh, well, what they're doing
and
to this,
I would encourage everyone to just, if there's a 5G small cell antenna, destroy it. You know, it'll probably wind you up in jail, but.
Yeah,
I mean,
well.
I just,
what's that? Yeah, it's a tough situation to be in, you know, but do you want to protect your family and your community? Then perhaps doing an illegal act that doesn't harm a human being would be a way to make a statement.
Yeah. I mean, do you think it's an overreaction to be this worried about the 5G?
No.
Or, yeah.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Let's see.
Wait, I better run here, but if you could please look at that entire movement, and I'd just like to know what you think of it, if it's legitimate, if it's something you think it might be workable.
Okay.
Because at this point, that's kind of the only thing I'm seeing that might be able to remedy the situation.
Okay, I'll take a look at that, and people can take a look into this themselves and also the different methods for shielding themselves from radiation in whatever way that they can. If you can't reduce it entirely, at least find ways to, I guess, alleviate the impact. You know, turning off your a lot of your energy hogs during the middle of the night, or just the Wi-Fi. Something simple like that. You know, reduce the amount of radiation you're getting. Thanks for calling in, Steve, and bringing up this important topic.
Well, thank you, Kyle. I love your show and everything you've done.
All right, appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. Okay. You know, it's one of those topics that I'm actually not all that well versed in, to be honest. I could probably stand to do a little bit more research and to brush up on the terminology so I know exactly what I'm talking about. But I know the basics. I know a decent amount about biology and about the effect of radiation, different forms of it on the human biology and the ecosystem as a whole. It's not good. None of this is good. And the psychological impacts are very prevalent as well. You can tell that people are not thriving in this Internet of Things type of world. It's not making anybody any happier. It's making us all into better slaves, to be honest. More content with our enslavement and docile. You know, it's funny how Twitter was this used as this great revolutionary tool. Oh, it's great that people are connecting and sharing their disdain of government and distrust of government when they're doing in these revolutions in the Middle East. Right? Oh, it's great. It's to be celebrated. Yay! This is democratic. And then when people in the United States and Europe, when we start talking amongst ourselves, in Canada and all over the world, to be honest, when we start talking amongst ourselves about our governmental system and who's in control of it and how we need to rectify the situation, that's hateful. We got to shut that down. Shut it down now. ADL. Okay, ADL. ADL's coming in. SPLC, we're going to get this sorted out. And we got the lawmakers on our side. No one will be able to criticize us anymore. It will be great. No more hate. It will be great. Yeah. And let's see if this unknown caller has anything to add at this point. Hello, unknown caller. Are you there?
Hi. Yes, I am. Well, you know, the little Yahweh demon on my shoulder says that if Americans put up with forced busing of their children, as they did, they'll put up with 5G. But the little Odin on my other shoulder says, well, but they didn't have the internet back then. And the resistance that did stand up against forced busing of kids You know, it was very isolated. It couldn't garner much support from other people in the country.
Mm-hmm. They still had to do it at the point of bayonets, though.
Right. What was that, the 82nd Airborne, I believe? I don't have that in front of me. But, yeah, it was definitely a real reaction, but it was localized. In other words, the reaction points were spread out pretty far and few in between.
It's because it didn't affect everybody at once.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And they didn't think... They'd see the repercussions down the line of what the world would be like for their children and their grandchildren. They didn't understand. They thought it's a little bit better just to go with the flow. We've got our own little community over here. They'll stay over there on the other side of the tracks or down there in the south or wherever. No, I'm not going to be affected. No, nothing to get all worked up about.
Yes, once again, we're paying for our collective, and I'm not going to use the royal we because. Really, I've never gone along with any of these things. I mean,
we never voted on it. It was never like we voted and say, hey, we need to genocide ourselves.
Right. I guess it's like I had, but you hear other people using the royal we from time to time. And
I especially hate when they do that in regards to what the United States is doing. We're going over there. We're bombing this place. And no, we're not.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a pretty... Well, you know, people get in the habit of doing that because they seem to think that they're the ones winning the basketball games, you know, that their hired help wins. It's so ludicrous. This has been spoken of before, but it just never ceases to amaze me how people get behind these local pro sports teams, which are... just obviously traded like cattle by Jewish owners, team owners. They're not, the players aren't even from the city, for crying out loud, you know.
I love when people don't even consciously realize what they're doing, and they'll say, they lost the game. And then once it's a victory, we won, we did it. But, you know, when it's a loss, they just didn't perform tonight. But when it's a victory, we're the best.
I was at a Subway tonight, and this one of the ladies there, you know, a young, attractive woman. I guess it's a male just instinct to want to give her a tip, you know. And she happened to have a Subway Cavaliers uniform on, as opposed to the regular Subway uniform. And I said, well, are you a LeBron fan? Oh, yeah, I love LeBron. I said, well, I'm not going to tip you then. Because this guy is known for not leaving tips to his fans at all, being a billionaire, Kyle. Could you imagine the level of ingratitude and hatred any human being would have to not leave tips, being a billionaire, when they're not tipping their fans? They made him a billionaire for doing what they love in the first place. So,
you know, I've heard this from many people. I've known quite a few people who have served the rich elite, the famous, you know, basically because I lived on Cape Cod, you'd see some of these people coming around. If you worked in a service industry, your valet parking cars for a restaurant, you might see some of these people come in. And they're much worse tippers than, say, somebody who's bringing in, you know, $60,000 a year. I'll throw you sometimes, you know, 10, 20 bucks. But these rich people, here's $2. Thanks a lot for the meal. Right. You know?
So, you know, people say I'm too negative. I'll be positive. LeBron has saved me money. He really has, because he's curbed my natural generosity, at least in terms of offering it to ingrates. So, yeah, and the other thing you were talking about, just the ludicrousy of having Trump as a president with his little juvenile tweets. You know, life was always tragic, but it seems to me, as a lover of world literature, that there was always a sense of the tragic grandeur of human life. Whether you got the girl or you didn't, whether your life turned out to be one with a happy ending or it was literally tragic, There was always an aura of grandeur about being a human being, you know, sort of a dignity in the face of suffering and death. And Trump completely negates that. The Trump culture just really, like you were referencing the whole money, money, money thing with him appearing on WWF. I mean, it really, not only does he minimize the, and I use the word dignity very circumspectly, whatever remained of an illusion of dignity regarding the United States presidency is completely negated now. Completely.
He's a steak salesman. That was one of his roles, selling Trump steaks. He had a board game.
Don't you think if you had billions of dollars, there would be a point in your life you'd kick back, you know what? I'm going to stop worrying about making money now. I'm set. My descendants for the foreseeable future are set. I'm going to do this or that, you know, become a philanthropist or sit down and write an epic, you know, whatever. But this guy just goes from one degrading, imbecilic venture to another. Trump University, Trump stakes, you know, just...
He got purchased by people like George Soros and by Wilbur Ross, and he was in their pocket. But it goes back even further than that. It goes back to the 80s when he was the front man for Resorts International, a casino hotel operation that was basically he inherited from Meyer Lansky. I mean, that was a Meyer Lansky mob operation.
Wow.
That's where the whole, you know, the kosher, I'm going to be talking about this on my show on Sunday, about the heroin trade and how the La Cosa Nostra really then became the kosher Nostra. When the Italian mafia said, hey, you know, make some business deals, we'll bring in the Jews. And, well, what happens when you allow some of your, you know, few based Jews to come in and help out your operation? They end up running it. And that's what ended up happening with this mafia. And then they went legit. They took all the money that they made from their heroin and bootlegging and prostitution. They put it into places like Las Vegas, into the movie industry, into the government. They bought off politicians. They put their guys in there. And that's why you saw the government then shift to being the main heroin dealers, whereas once it was the French connection, right? Lucky Luciano getting freed because of his involvement working with the CIA and Navy intelligence to guard, to have the mafia guard the docks of the port so no evil Nazis could come in. And then he gets freed, sent over to Italy, and he's running a massive heroin operation. And it's... And then becomes the U.S. government's role. I mean, they helped out the whole time. But then you've got Air America, where the U.S. government's flying heroin over there in the Golden Triangle in Asia. And they're also then freeing up all the heroin production in the Golden Crescent in Afghanistan. It's all been a huge heroin operation. And then you look at the role of Trump. He comes in, he says he's going to do something about the opioid epidemic. What does he do? He puts forth this surge recently in Afghanistan, and the only surge we've seen here as an effect is the surge in the amount of opium production coming from Afghanistan. What a coincidence. Oh, we're going to send in all these troops, and oh, look at the flourishing amount of opium that supplies 90% of the world's opium coming from a U.S.-occupied country. Yet, this is reason number 3,000,033 why we need to have this whole thing come to an immediate end.
Well, I think Charles Giuliani's new series and hopefully forthcoming book on the founding of America would really help to advance this idea that we can't make great again what was really never great or never intended to be great in the sense that we would have proved as great in the first place.
I agree.
You know, just how this was all set up from the get-go to be what it is now and to continue moving in the direction of enslaving all of humanity. I mean, this is such an important thing. It's right up there, maybe not quite as important as, putting Yahweh 6 million feet under. but it's right up there in terms of level of importance,
well,
I think.
Here's the thing. You've got the whole reactionary right-wing movement now focusing on defending American culture and heritage. And, you know, the Thanksgiving Day tradition, we need to go out there and defend this, and we need to defend the different statues, and we need to defend Columbus Day and embrace Columbus as one of our own. He's a Murano Jew. Or embrace the slaveholding culture. No, those are mainly Jews. We don't need to defend that. We need to... Go ahead.
You know, the problem we're in, as you well know, is that you can really get a person who's open-minded to see maybe that their entire religion was conceived of and created as a weapon. You might be able to get them to see that the entire governmental system they've been praising was conceived of and employed as a weapon against them. But to get them to realize that everything, their religion, their government, all the sacred cows have been weapons from the get-go to be used against them. To say that's a tall order would be the understatement of the century. And then you've got guys like Jim calling in saying he's psychically in touch right now with the remnants of the Nazis in Antarctica. And they are channeling the information to him that race no longer matters. That's not what determines an Aryan or, you know, even partially determines.
I think he got cut off right after that. Somehow by an act of Odin, maybe?
I was hoping you were on the other end and dumped him at that point.
I can't remember. I don't remember if that was me or somebody else. But yeah, Jim did get dumped right after spewing that nonsense. I should have been there earlier, to be honest.
I mean, what's your guess? It's anyone's bet, perhaps, unless somebody has insider information. Is this guy just a nut or an op? It's got to be one or the other.
It's hard. That's a tough one. I've debated this a number of times with people who have actually met him, and it's hard to say. They're employing old guys like this to run some kind of weird Hasbara.
You know, I mean, and then you've got guys like Vinny Callahan, who seems like a pretty astute individual, saying things like, well, you know, color doesn't matter at all. We're all humans. And, you know, he's so sharp and astute on a number of topics. Now, I am not advocating even disliking people who are not white. I'm not. I never really have. But to say that all of that was altered in tens of thousands of years of successive ice age conditions in Europe with skin color is just flatly imbecilic. Is it possible he thinks that when he's so astute on a number of other topics?
I don't know. I see a lot of people refusing to just connect all of the dots with the alt-right and the whole right-wing identity politics. They never seem to put together the whole package that Israel's a problem, that Jewish ownership of us is a problem, that yes, the Muslims are a problem, not a top priority necessarily, unless you've got them right there on your streets causing problems, and that essentially, how do we put this, that we're not going to be able to get anywhere through playing the political spectrum. By trying to win in the general election, it's very infuriating to have people who might get it on the Israeli issue, but they refuse to see racial realities. You know, it seems like there isn't a good synthesis of these different ideas outside of Renegade.
And as has been plumbed on this network, other races see the racial realities. They see it. They speak of them. They're no secret whatsoever to anyone except a white libtard.
No, what about somebody like Brendan O'Connell? I wanted to bring this up because apparently he was jailed in New Zealand as he was told that he was able to get some kind of fair hearing if he was to go through New Zealand, I guess, back to Australia. So he got imprisoned in New Zealand, and you know, I just wanted to say, yeah, that's awful. But at the same time, I honestly never really liked the guy very much. Some of his information seemed on point, but one of the things he would always do is just talk a bunch of crap about how any kind of white racialist is basically an agent or running a psyop or toxic, so just stay away. Now, I understand all the problems of the alt-right, but he would just go over the top with this. He seems like one of these kind of anti-racist anti-Semites.
Well, you know what might be happening there, in at least some cases, if not his, is that sometimes a person simply has a significant other or a spouse who's not white. And you know what? I don't advocate any kind of criminal future reactions against that sort of thing. I think there should be areas where people can live however they want, you know, without impinging upon those who choose free association for their own kind. You know, these options should be geographically respected. However, there's a difference between just being respectful of that and just attacking people who just want to preserve the existence of their own kind. I mean, it's just again, it's such an easy answer. Just everything should be preserved and respected, and people have to look out for their own. Again, every other people does except ours. You know, so you know, the proof is in that pudding. It's right there. So I would really distrust anyone like that. And also, speaking of distrust, you know, and I'm not here to stir the hornet's nest, but anyone who calls up here advocating any kind of illegal activity, you know, I would be extremely suspect of that. Everyone out here has a brain. They can analyze situations and you know, possible eventualities when push comes to shove. There's no reason to sit there and advocate even you know, cutting down 5G towers on the radio. There's just no reason for that. And such statements are fraught with multifaceted problems anyway.
All right, we got a break. I'm back on the other side. I sentimenti che ha subiti si nascondono. Dipingerò sulle tue labbra quel sorriso che non hai. Ti insegnerò a sognare ancora e scoprirai che l'appetito della vita lentamente tornerà per sempre. Jewish author Douglas Rushkoff on why Jews are dangerous.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that you know, that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right, in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real. And that's very upsetting to people.
listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Renegade Roundtable. This is your host for the night, Kyle Hunt. Flirting with disaster here. Before the break, Frank was talking about, the caller before, talking about the potential of people tearing down these 5G towers. Not even towers, just these transmitters, putting them everywhere. And to be fair, I'm the one who brought up the idea. He just basically seconded and a little bit more enthusiastically saying that he does advocate people carrying out illegal actions. I'll reiterate, that's not what I'm saying, because that likely is considered a terrorist act, messing with trying to disrupt the high-tech flow of information that we have, which is just such a great gift from our gods on high. Thanks so much for everything you do for us. So yeah, please don't disrupt their control system. I'm not going to advocate for that here. Just flirting with disaster, you know. But Frank, here's the tough part. Everything inside of me wants to say words that will cause white people out there to enact the great white chimp out of 2017, 2018, whatever the case may be. I want people out there, white people, not chimping out like some of the black, you know, rioters will do, but to get angry, to Hulk out, and to just, tear this system down. And I'm not advocating any one way or another. I'm just saying, get mad and do something about our enslavement. It's just there's so much complacency.
Right, but there's one thing. I mean, it's one thing for someone like James Mason to write Siege. You know, it's something you're reading. But when such things are brought up on live radio, you know, it puts whoever else is on the call on the spot in a recorded situation. So I do think it's another scenario altogether.
Yeah, you know what? I've thought about this real quickly, Frank. I've thought if, you know, my words were ever played back to me, I might not like the way I phrase certain things, but I would love to stand as a witness and say, I meant every damn word of it.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, there have been other such individuals on trial, from Edgar Steele all the way on down, and in every case, the dumb white jury convict them.
Yeah,
if the same government that is interested in preserving our kind from total extinction ever achieves power, the number one priority should be, at least in terms of our population, a eugenics program of breeding more intelligent people, because without that, right now, as a mass of people, we're just not smart enough. There's no question in my mind. I mean, the level of imbecility and gullibility is off the chart.
So easily fooled, but
6G for crying out loud.
It's getting harder to tell what's real and what's not. In Edgar Steele's trial, they basically spliced together audio they had recorded of him, or which he had put out in broadcast, and made him say things that he didn't. It was kind of clunky and awkward because they weren't working with high technology, but they've got technology now, It's actually Adobe who's coming out with this software. I don't know if they've released it yet, but essentially you can mimic anybody's voice. Let's say I just take a recording of how you sound. I can make you say anything, and people would believe it. It'd be very realistic. Yeah. And they have they put forward all the good things that this could be used for. Yeah, I actually can't see too many. I can see all the bad things, all the horrors that this Pandora's voice box could open up. And then when you add in the ability for them to make a face, an image, say whatever they want. You might have seen the video with George Bush and Barack Obama where the person is moving his mouth around and in real time, the very HD image of one of the presidents is doing the exact same thing that the target subject is doing. It's just incredible, the technology they have right now that's openly available out there, public, where it really almost doesn't matter what the hell I say on the radio. They could fabricate any of it. But, I understand your concern. I'm just saying we're entering into a brave new world here where evidence can just be, and they've been doing this forever, pulling evidence out of thin air, planting drugs on this person or whatever the case may be.
You're absolutely right, and all of this was actually predicted in Fahrenheit 451 that was occurring in the plot, I think, before they had the technology on the ground. But I think the general rule of thumb is at least don't do their work for them.
Yes. I guess that's a good rule of thumb to have there. I try but sometimes, Frank, I just want to... I want to unleash all of the pent-up fury, at least with a verbal assault, because it's just...
It wouldn't make much of a difference.
I know.
It would only adversely affect you and yours.
Yeah.
Because the people have heard Lindbergh and Rockwell. I mean, there's so many of them. Even on national... on national soapboxes, so to speak, and they just don't listen. I mean, it's got to, they're not only stupid, and I guess I'm reverting to hyper cynical Frank here, but they're not only hyper imbecilic, they're hyper selfish as well. Until it hits them personally, they just don't give a damn. And it took me decades to really internalize that truth. Even after I was vocalizing it, it really takes you quite a while. And anybody with a slice of idealism to their nature, it's a tough one to really internalize and accept. I just wanted to mention one other thing, if I could, really quickly. When you were talking about the drug running, you also mentioned the role of prostitution the government's involved in. It's incredible to me on the societal level, even in the general public, just how accepted prostitution has become. I mean, we saw that with the porn star shirts that the barely pubescent girls were proudly wearing to school. And, I'm no prude. I've been known to sit in a strip club or whatever, but I absolutely never really wanted to employ the use of a prostitute. And it was more just a personal pride thing. It really wasn't based on any kind of morality whatsoever. But also, as I was trying to explain to one young lady, she was just a waitress, and she was literally soliciting me for prostitution in a bar. And I sat down because we had talked a number of times, so we were on a conversational level. And I said to her, look, you're 21 years old. This is how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to meet a man that you really love. He's supposed to love you, too. And you're supposed to enjoy each other's youth and beauty. That enjoyment of each other's youth and beauty on an exclusive basis will give you the strength to endure each other when you're old and ugly. Because what you're supposed to do is grow old together, and then you're always going to see each other as young and beautiful. You will, at least to some extent. And if you literally no longer see your spouse as young and beautiful, you at least know in your own mind, my spouse gave me her youth and beauty. And that engenders loyalty. That engenders longevity in a marriage. I mean, if everyone now has to know, these young people coming up, you know, if they get married at 25 or 30, how many of their wives were literally prostitutes in the past? And how can you look someone like that in the eye over the ensuing decades?
Yeah, and I think the prostitution doesn't even need to occur sexually. I think a lot of people are prostitutes of their soul. And that's essentially what working today is in many regards. And that's what's happening out there in Hollywood, where basically you have to be a prostitute to be successful. And that's what our politicians are. That's what they employ. It's prostitution is the name of the game. Down the block, one block from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in D.C., I remember seeing a news report on this. You could purchase a child prostitute at night. Just a block from the White House. This was during the Obama administration. I was just thinking, how appropriate. And it's not like with all of the Secret Service and all the police that they have swarming all around that they wouldn't be able to deal with that. And think of the military might of the United States government. They couldn't secure their ports themselves. They knew the mafia was doing it. They made a deal with them. And then they continued to know, as all this heroin was flooding into the country, that the mafia was controlling the ports. But they just couldn't seem to figure out where all the heroin was coming from. And to this day, we don't know.
Don't we keep going back to the H-man in the bunker saying, if we lose this war, we can't even imagine the world that the Jews will create. I mean, those words haunt me. They haunt me almost as much as if I had been there, because I'm having to live through the nightmare, the daily nightmare of that world. And literally, if I had had a choice, I would wish I had never been born. It's been just absolutely awful. But here I am, so, you know, might as well take care of some cats or whatever, listen to Renegade, you know.
So, all right, Frank. I was just going to say, I appreciate the call here tonight. I'm going to get on to some of these topics here. And
see. Yeah, very good, very good. Good talking to you, and carry on.
All right, take care, Frank.
Yeah, take care, bye.
Okay. And I see that Chris H. is hanging around. If he wants to jump at any point, please feel free. I'm going to get back to some of these other things I was looking to talk about here. The 5G one is very important. I should probably do a whole show on 5G. My upcoming show is going to be on heroin in particular. Possibly just opium in general. But largely on heroin and the mob, which is going to be the next part of the documentary that's going to be released. And then I think I'm going to do one more part to the opioid documentary. It won't be finished. And then we're going to have to go back to the Beyond Pizzagate documentary. Because we've got to bring it from the 1970s up to the present day in America. And go through all of the overwhelming and sick stuff. The Finders Cult, Boys Town, you know, the Franklin scandal, the cover-up. As soon as the headline ran that call boys, meaning child sex slaves, were doing midnight tours of the White House, there should have been a populace with pitchforks and torches, and there should have been serious change immediately. Revolutionary change right then and there. But the problem has just festered. And hey, Roger Stone is still around, isn't he? He claims to be one of these people who's fighting against the child traffickers. He was part of that Reagan White House. What does he know about the call boys? What is Roy Cohn, their mentor, Donald Trump, and Roger Stone, what does he know about all of this? Apparently a lot. Apparently that's where they learned it from. Anyway, stand up for Based Roy Moore, Based BB. Now, I've been seeing a lot about QAnon. Just asking these questions. Just, hey, what promise hasn't Trump fulfilled? Well, I don't know. Lock her up, build the wall, ones like those. Oh, But he did make a whole lot of promises to Israel, didn't he? Those are the ones he won't back out on. He's got base Bibi, and you got the base Saudis. They were draining the swamp over in Saudi Arabia. I'm sure you've seen. They locked up all those corrupt Saudis, so now they're just based like Trump. We got the Trump allies over there, just like Duterte, who instead of going after the international heroin traffickers, he'll kill the users. Yeah, and let his soldiers rape the populace. Yeah. Based. Oh, yeah. Let's stick with the Saudis for a moment. Apparently, Eric Prince, what does he even have now? It's not G, is it Academy? It's not Blackwater. He probably has a new thing going on. And this company's probably not even named, which is over there, supposedly helping to torture the Saudi corrupt officials, the family members, and the underlings who were swept up in this, a lot of them at the Ritz-Carlton. Yeah, Eric Prince's company is supposedly over there helping to torture. So now we have also a story coming out about the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, who's saying that the Iranian leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is the, quote, new Hitler of the Middle East, end quote. Wow, so he's the new Hitler of the Middle East. Oy vey! It's the House of Mossad. The House of Mossad. They even say, the Saudi royal family, that they are cousins of the Jews. Yes, of course they are. Now they're kvetching about the new Hitler of the Middle East. We're going to have to go in and take out Khomeini and all of Iran. You heard what John McCain, the great patriotic American, said. Bomb, 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 bomb Iran. Yeah, he's so funny. Yeah, we've got the big arms deals. And apparently $7 billion more just got tacked on to that massive amount that was promised to the Saudis in this big deal back when Trump was over there with his hands on the great glowing orb making some kind of deal with the devil. Yeah. It is such a sick situation we're in right here. It does look like they're moving against Iran. There was this, there's a show out there, Mr. Robot. And apparently, this most recent episode ends with a literal Iranian false flag. They put up an Iranian flag where these hacker terrorists were plotting some operation, but it wasn't really them doing it for Iran. It was all just a setup. Is that what they're looking at? Looking to do is to frame the Iranians for a false flag? Of course. Of course. And we would know who to thank for that, wouldn't we? Oh, we'd have to thank our greatest ally. I want to hear from Gavin McGinnis and Faith Goldie, two based white nationalists, about what they think of our greatest ally here. I'm going to play a short clip. Faith Goldie, gotta have faith, on the Gavin McGinnis show. I am not going to play that awful song. I should. Okay.
But here's the problem now. So you've got your reputation marred with this rebel thing because of Charlottesville, blah, blah, blah. Let's just recap for everyone. So you went down there as a reporter, but you spoke to an alt-right podcast. And that's right. I think your boss, Ezra, thought you were a little too relaxed. And it looked bad for the brand, so you're out of there. So here's my idea. I think Ezra would be happy to have you back. So what you do is you sit in a room with him, like Charlie Rose style, right? And you have like an hour and a half long discussion where it's clear, because you both have the same politics at the end of the day. We were in Israel together. We're both basically Zionists, right?
I argue for the one state solution. We're all household names in Israel. That's why I find the anti-Semitism card hilarious, because I'm like, guys, like, I am more pro Israel. We both fell in love with the wall. I'm like, Israel gets demographics. That's why they're not naturalizing millions of Arabs in the West Bank, because they don't want the Knesset to be like a giant Muslim Arabic, you know, House of Parliament, so to speak. I'm like, yes, I'm for it. I believe in their self-determination, but that's not enough.
I was at the point where I wanted to become a Nazi skinhead there, but for Israel. So I would like be beating up Palestinians and stuff with my boots.
Hilarious, Gavin. Star
David. But anyway.
Hilarious. Shove another dildo up your anus. He did that on his own show. There's a video of him shoving a black dildo up his anus. Oh, and people still took him seriously. Oh, absolutely disgusting. Sick. Degenerate. Oh, Faith Goldie, though, she's dog whistling to the white nationalists by coming out and attacking the civic nationalists. So, oh yeah, so based. All right, let's get away from those clowns. Oh yeah, Blonde in the Belly of the Beast. There's another one. This woman is now attacking the civic nationalists. Yeah, these people. I hate even dealing with them. Just don't even give them any more attention than I just did. How about that? Congressman Joe Barton. I guess I'll talk about this story briefly. This is what Alex Jones is up to now over at InfoWars with Laura Loomer. Somehow Laura Loomer got a video of Congressman Joe Barton masturbating. I guess it was, you know, just an exchange with someone else. I don't know. I don't think it was with Loomer herself. Maybe that's how she got it. But Loomer got a hold of this kind of like so-called revenge porn, and InfoWars released it. Alex Jones released her scoop. A video of this congressman jerking off. But he took it down, apparently because of Texas's revenge porn laws. Yuck. Disgusting. Are they such sick degenerates that the reason they're putting out all these stories is to get us to think about Jews jerking off? Like Weinstein with the plant? That we even tolerate such a society at all. All these people in positions of power. Him talking with the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Oh, we need to get organized like the mafia. You are the mafia. So we need to kick these anti-Semites in the ass. Yeah. Oh, I was just thinking, what if we were to come together and say, well, we need to get organized like the mafia and kick these Jews in the ass. I mean, he said it. Also, I was thinking about this when, you know, Frank was talking about not advocating illegal actions. I was thinking about all of the hateful incitements of violence that have been carried out against white people. Think about that video of the former new Black Panther Party leader. Well, what was that guy's name? King Aziz, King Abdullah, something or other. I forget. I haven't seen that clip in a little while. Oh yeah, that was one of those. I think it was the Discovery Channel or something like that. Following this radical black round as he was going around in the streets saying, we gotta kill some cracker babies. Those little blue-eyed babies. Doing this on multiple occasions. All the genocidal things that have been said about white people. It's just incredible that all of this is tolerated. All sorts of illegal incitement tolerated against living, breathing babies. But of course, we even just talk about taking down electronics. You know, well, that's essentially a no-no. But seriously, it's like somebody's pointing an automatic weapon at your head. Just saying, you're going to have to tolerate this. Oh, at any point, we could just fire this off at you. But it's not even that. It's a radioactive automatic weapon pointed at your head. People don't understand, I think, what it's all capable of, what it really means. Beyond just what the overt uses of this technology are, as I mentioned about tracking what goes in and out of your fridge and into your garbage, tracking all of that, knowing exactly where you and all of your things are at any given time, this is a frightening future. And it's imminent. It's here. It's pretty much here. Not full scale, of course, but they've already started easing it in quite a while ago. I don't want to live in it. I don't. Oh, but despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in this cage. No, that's the way it feels sometimes. That's the way, that's reality, isn't it? Because our owners can just spray some things into the cage here and there, make certain delicious foods available, restrict certain other ones. We have no say over any of this. Even if you're going to go and plant your own crops, you can't control the skies. You can't control what falls on you and your crops. And you have no say over what they put up on their public lands. Who owns these things anyway? That they won't even do any studies is so damning in and of itself. They know that this is bad for everyone. That's why they're doing it. Okay, let's continue moving on. Hopefully we'll get some calls here. Maybe Chris H. will join in and talk about some other about some other subjects on the other side. Twitter. As of December 18th, the ADL and Twitter are going to clamp down even harder than they've done before. You thought it was bad before. Come December 18th, Twitter's going... Whatever. Okay. The SPLC's hate tracker. Oh, they took away Richard Spencer's blue check mark. It's like a Showa. The funniest thing is seeing people, Trump, please help. They're trying to censor us.
Catfish are jumping, that paddle wheel bumping, black water keep rolling on fast just the same.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Renegade Broadcasting has a sister site where you can find insightful articles from the past and present, the latest in health and wellness, research, analysis of current events, profound poetry, amazing artwork, lots of videos and podcasts from other content creators, and so much more. We are in a struggle to awaken as many people as possible, put an end to our enslavement in this toxic culture, and create a future where we can be happy, healthy, and free. Go to RenegadeTribune.com, browse the great content, and do consider joining the crew in publishing your own original work.
Favors just the brave.
And
Welcome back. Let's see. All right, still nobody else on the call. This is the last half hour, so please do call in if you want to have your voice heard. Chris H., welcome to the show.
How are you doing, Carl?
I am all right, you know, but actually, no, I'm not really. And it's not because I'm even in the slightest concern that any kind of authorities will come after me because of the caller and I talking about the potentiality of people taking down these 5G towers, the different transmitters. It's not that at all. It's the fact that we're living in this hell and we can't get our crap together enough to actually resist it in any effective way. And I feel like, in many regards, I have failed in my mission because where are we? It's only gotten worse. Yes, more people know about it, but how much action has been taken? But Chris, before I bring you on here, I'll answer how I'm doing by also bringing up what makes me optimistic, is that people are now seeing, for whatever reason, that Hollywood is run by disgusting, filthy people, and that our politicians are also liars and scumbags and child rapists. The thing is, it's up to us now what we do with that information. And if we do nothing, then we become complicit because we are complacent. All right, Chris. Anything to
yep,
say to that?
Yep. Do you want to go to them first?
All right, we'll go to this should be Rolly Quaid here, and then we'll go to the unknown caller.
Wow, man, how you doing tonight?
I just answered that. I'm doing all right, but not really because, well, we're here. We're talking about these problems. Some people are aware of it, but what really has been done? What kind of active resistance to it is there? It's disheartening, and I want to do more. I wish we could be more effective at what we're doing because this needs to come to a grinding halt.
Yep, and I knew that you. I just meant that a gesture is semantics. Kyle, you mentioned the loss of bees due to RNA viruses. Do you know what the disease's name that's wiping out the bees?
Well, I know about colony collapse disorder.
No, it's called Israeli acute paralysis virus.
Really?
Because it was first discovered in Israel.
That's just a coincidence.
Bees are having identity issue where they're leaving their colonies. You know, they have a lack of loyalty to their own colony and don't even acknowledge their own queen as being theirs. And it's all because of Israeli acute paralysis virus.
You know, there was an old article that William Pierce wrote many decades ago about some story about how fire ants were becoming less aggressive, and it had to do with this other kind of ant that would go in there and wave its antennae around to mind control this other species of fire ant, and it would make the fire ants more complacent, and essentially he was making the comparison that what this invasive ant species was able to do in terms of waving their antennae around and getting the fire ants to serve their will and be complacent about their rulership, same thing that the Jews have done waving their TV antennae, and you know that will date you here, there's no cable then, wave their TV antennae around, and that's how they're able to make the masses complacent and to make them serve their masters. They're alien hosts. So, yes, they're a parasite. I mean, yeah.
And we know, and like the caller called originally, you know, they have this big beacon. You know, they have this, I mean, carrying around a cell phone is like carrying around a homing beacon, basically. And with this 4G, 5G thing going on, you know, you could imagine it being this grandiose antenna that not you know, ants couldn't even have nearly that much power.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's worrisome, very worrisome. what they're able to do with this. And we've only seen, we've just accepted all of this. It's, and we don't know what these devices are capable of. We just know what we're able to use them for.
I heard about EMFs in the 90s, and people thought they were absolutely insane that anybody would suggest that. But now, I mean, it's a reality. I mean, did you know that the Israeli Congress used to collect sci-fi books to think about new ways of implementing new things? Like, they would collect, like, William Gibson books and, you know, Orwell, to come up with new methods and strategies.
Yeah,
you could really see it with this new cell phone services.
It's hard to know whether it was the plan all along and perhaps somebody like Gibson was in on it, or whether his vision of the technological future helped to actually then shape it. Because what he envisioned really did come to pass a couple decades later. He was the person who coined the term cyberspace in the 80s. He's some interesting fiction. It's an enjoyable read, and it's amazing what he was envisioning back in the 80s when you see what the green computer screen looked like. It was so basic, but you saw the future that was going to unfold through this technology.
What's interesting about William Gibson's books, though, is like the enemy is very androgynous. You really can't pinpoint it. But I got to send you this article where he actually stated that he felt like the villain in much of his novels was actually Donald Trump. You know, this Biff-like,
wow,
Back to the Future-like character that was building these massive, massive buildings. And this amalgamation of cities being erected, you know, was because of casino moguls like Donald Trump.
Yeah, I forget what book it was, but they actually do have some group that uses the ant as their symbol.
Absolutely incredible. Hey, Kyle, when you do your show on Sunday, can I give you a call about Stephen Wynn? I got some excellent sources for you.
About Wynn and heroin?
Yeah, I got some really good sources.
Yeah, sure. Give me a call, and I'll definitely take it, even if I have to go a little bit extra, because I want to cover so much of our history here with these peddlers. They were doing it in the 20s. They really ramped up, and then they just pushed it real, real hard, especially after Prohibition was repealed. You're not going to make money off of bootlegging booze. And I'm even of the mindset that they might have outlawed opium and alcohol so that the mafia could rise to power. That conspiracy might go that deep, and it might not just be that, they couldn't foresee that this would happen. I think it could have been an alley-oop, threw the ball over to them.
I honestly think that the Cosa Nostra was already in place, or the Cosa Nostra was already in place. And they showed these mafioso goons, like, how to give them basically a corporate mindset. I mean, because, like, you take Greg Scarpa, for example, he was just banging quarters into, those payphones. And that's how he got his rise. He was basically found by another Jew in his neighborhood, and he gave him, you know, this idea of becoming, you know, actually heading his own corporation. I mean, you notice that the mafia became a democracy, you know, all these street gangs, the same time that the UN was coming about.
Yeah, that's interesting. The whole syndicate that they set up was it came to fruition pretty much in 31, and it was under Luciano, Salvatore Lucky Luciano. And he's this Italian mafia guy, right? But what he actually did was he went against the old, they called him Mustache Pete, the Italians who didn't endorse working with the Irish or especially the Jews. Whereas Lucky Luciano, he was this new school American mafia guy. And he was good with the Jews. He had Meyer Lansky, but a lot of people don't realize he was mentored by Arnold Rothstein. Arnold the Brain Rothstein, the guy who was accused, apparently rightfully so, of rigging the 1919 World Series, the Black Sox scandal. a Jewish gangster, big bootlegger, heroin peddler.
Right, and I always wanted to tell you this story, and I want to use this time to give you the opportunity to tell you this, but I've told you before that Bob Burnham was actually in the Kennedy administration. He was the assistant to Attorney General of New York when Kennedy was president, and I actually figured out the name of the boxing promoter that actually tried to shake down Bob Arum. He said, "You better back the fuck off. You know, I'm in the Kennedy administration." It was actually Roy Cohen.
Huh. That's interesting.
So all this time I've been wondering who pointed the gun. You know, Don King pointed the gun at Roy Cohen's head. And he told him, you know, Bob was on the other side of the table. You better back the fuck up. You know, I'm part of the Kennedy administration.
That's interesting. Well, Don King got in a little hot water with Bob because Don was endorsing his old buddy, Donald Trump. Oh, yeah. Donald Trump. I actually covered a little bit on that show we did together about Trump's involvement with boxing.
But Bob Arum actually challenged Donald Trump to a boxing match, and Breitbart actually ran the story, but they came to the narrative that he's just a stupid, disconnected white man again.
Yeah.
And not a tribes member, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't believe that for a second.
Well, we've got an unknown caller here, and then we have Chris H. to get to as well. Let's take this unknown caller, see who this is. Hello, caller.
Well, I've already spoken tonight, so I'm just listening.
All right, Frank.
Thanks.
All right, no problem. Okay, Chris. I wanted to see if Chris had anything to add here. Chris, are you around? All right, I'll meet.
Yeah, I've gone vegan the last two.
I've gone vegan
the last 2 weeks.
All right, so you got rid of dairy. You feel good, huh?
I'm feeling really good. Yeah, got some other things I've got to sort out in my life, but yeah, in terms of health, I'm feeling really good and feeling motivated, and I just want to get going. I think that. Yeah, with dairy, it dulled my mind. I've also been working out a bit more, but that might also be because I've gone vegan, I don't know. But I've got a lot more energy, a lot more testosterone, I guess.
All right, very good. Yeah, you get a lot of estrogen. People are worried about the soy boys. You don't need to drink soy milk, but if you do, not a big worry, especially if you were drinking cow's milk. Just so much animal estrogen in it. It is not conducive to feeling the masculine fire of resistance burning within your belly.
Well, I don't see any value in the right at all, you know, the political right. I mean, just everything that comes from there at all just seems totally retarded. So, I mean, I think the left is pretty controlled, and you know they have degenerate messages coming from there. But I mean, right now I'd pretty much call myself a leftist because apart from the degenerate parts that are pushed in that direction, I mean I can't see myself there having anything to do with the right. And of course, diet comes into that, and just all the degeneracy and, you know, corporations and control and just like a lack of care on pretty much anything unless it's mechanical. It's trad, isn't it? So
yeah, I wouldn't call myself a leftist, but I sure as hell wouldn't call myself a rightist. I don't mind being right, as in correct, on topics, but the right wing is very, very toxic, and it's just so absurd seeing people rallying behind these different Republicans because, oh, they're being attacked by the media. Yeah, I mean, I understand. You think that they're actually going to stand up for you, but they're not.
I've known some people who were going in the right direction until maybe a year or two. A year or two ago, whenever this whole Trump thing came along and all of this. And I just can't speak with most people now. I have some friends, but I've hardly been speaking to of late, just to do with other things as well. But I just can't have a proper conversation because it all ends up going down a certain narrative that's controlled, and it's on the right, and renegades, they are completely outside of that. And so really at the moment, I feel like I can only really relate to people who are on that narrative, and that's pretty much only people on Renegade or, you know, directly around. So.
You know what's crazy, Chris, is how much the right and left agree on many important topics these days. They'll disagree about a lot of the stupid stuff, but on the important things, they're often, at least at the national level, in agreement. They both really embrace the whole rainbow, whether it's sexual diversity or ethnic demographic diversity. Oh, yeah.
It's because they're the same thing. They're the same thing, ultimately. I mean, the controlled elements, obviously. I mean, they're basically the right and the left ultimately become Bolshevik. That's what they ultimately become. They're both Soviet. I know that people say the right isn't. It's something else, but I mean, it's...
That's why Richard Spencer...
And communism united, yeah.
That's why he calls the alt-right the essentially neo-Bolsheviks. That's why he's allied with Alexander Dugin, like most of the alt-right, and he's the founder of the National Bolshevik Party. So yeah, you've got an important point there, saying both sides are Bolshevik. One thing that really disturbed me, this is seen as more of a leftist agenda, even though the right really doesn't make a whole bunch of fuss about it. Just seeing this image was infuriating to me. It turned my stomach. It hurt my soul. It was an image of two homosexual men shirtless who were embracing a baby who they had delivered through a surrogate. And the person had a message about how that baby would never smell its mother who birthed it. It would never be able to bond with its mother, essentially just showing all the ways that this would be damned. I don't know if it was a genetic mother. Yeah, I think it would. It might have. It needs a female egg. I don't know if it was necessarily hers, but it was a female egg that was fertilized. Actually, I don't even know anymore. Now they can create humans from three parents, they say. It's such a sick, brave new world that we're in. I absolutely hate it. But this is child abuse. Making it, allowing homosexual men to pay for a little baby that they can never produce naturally. And this baby will never get to have a mother. How sick is this? How sick is this world? And then you just look at the rates of abuse amongst homosexual men and homosexuals in general. It's just... It's so infuriating, but there are so many people out there, regardless of their party. There'd be people on the right who would say, well, you know, at least the child has a family in which they're growing up. They have some money, you know, so at least the child has nice toys, right? I hate this world. I hate it. And it can seem all right sometimes when you just kind of bury your head in the sand a little bit. And worry about, you know, your situation. But that doesn't stop the big wheels from turning in the larger world. And eventually, it's going to burst your little bubble. Unless you're prepared. Unless you burst their bubble first. Or whatever metaphor you want to use. What do you think, Chris? I mean, we've got to do the small things. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wonder if those two gay parents, if they actually bonded with that baby properly, if they actually felt real emotions, because it's not natural. Something inside them must know it's not natural. But I mean, so I wonder if they put on that emotion because, I mean, maybe I don't know what kind of emotion they're actually feeling when they have that baby in their arms.
We just bought this beautiful baby.
Whether they are emotional. Yeah.
Oh, such a great purchase. And it actually has some of my DNA in it. Oh, what a great purchase.
I really don't know what to say to it. It's just the whole thing's just sick.
Did I have the downer Thanksgiving dinner? You talk a whole day too late. Is that what happened here tonight? Yeah, it's not a pleasant situation we're facing, and I'd love to just kind of joke around or talk about all sorts of different subjects that are interesting, but we won't even be able to do that very soon. And unless drastic changes happen, because the future's not looking bright. Our enemy has near complete control over most means of communication right now, has so many weapons at his disposal, and we're just a disorganized ragtag group of people, although we're growing in number around the world, who doesn't even realize the kind of power that we have. So I think that's the important takeaway, is that we have a lot of potential. We have a lot of potential that is being underutilized at the moment. But even with this being the case, we've been able to accomplish a great deal. And I think perception is very important in this struggle. And we need to focus on all these different scandals and the way that we can work in our truth. I mean, it's pretty obvious right now, as I said. Most people should get the idea the Jewish perverts in Hollywood are not your friend. Okay, so yet they'll probably let their children watch the different movies produced by these child predators. And that's that. That's the unfortunate part. But there is a growing awareness. And I think we will see a comeuppance. There's got to be. It's going to be from the grassroots up to the highest level. I think we might even see some kind of divine comeuppance. But I wouldn't bank on it, wouldn't bet on it. We've got to do it ourselves. I think that even us acting together could be essentially, well, the hand of whatever deity you want, hand of Odin. We could be the missing hand of Tyr, slapping our enemies across the face with our fist of justice. I guess it'd be a punch. Oh, too much metaphor. Okay, Chris H., anything else you'd like to say about this? How to not get down when facing such a dark situation and seeing, not many prospects for serious change because, well, we're being suppressed in so many ways and we're naturally like, well, kind of like cats, and it's hard to herd cats if you've ever tried.
Well, I'd say don't lie to yourself. Don't go down. Don't get stuck in ideas that are stuck and limited. So I think it's good to be frustrated sometimes, but if you can do things like purify your mind, your body, your spirit, and you know, connect with people who are in the right direction, I think Renegade's a good place. And you know, you're gonna get frustrated sometimes, and you've got to allow yourself to have a few days or a week or a few weeks or, you know, to feel that. But if you go for walks and just you're in your own space and you don't, yeah, just
see. But I think that might be escapism. I understand we need to stay sane and healthy and everything, but time really is running out. And as much as doing those kinds of things makes me feel a little bit better, I also think, maybe this is bad. I shouldn't be comfortable. I shouldn't be resting on my laurels in any regard. We need to have a fire lit underneath our asses.
Yeah, I have a fight in me. I'm not quite sure what to do with it right now. And all means to do something bad. I mean, I'm not feeling any movement happening enough for me say, here where I am, I'm just having to create my own movement. So that might take some time to come about, but I'm having to build something up for myself. So, meet up with the right people, maybe even travel or something. I've kind of got myself in a rut, I guess. It's been a good thing though, because I've had to step back from something else that was not working for me. So I've had to step back, and then I've had, you know, 3 or 4 months where I've been reflecting, and I've just come to the decision that I need to just, you know, make a move. And you've got to just do something, I guess, at some point. I don't really know what to do, or whether I'm doing the right thing or what, but you just got to do something with your energy. And I guess if you do something, that you're going to learn something from that experience, and maybe you'll either go back to where you were in a better place, or you'll find something new. But I don't really know what to be doing right now. I mean, I could be doing radio shows or writing articles or whatever, but it has to be authentic from yourself, I think, as well. And unless you're actually moving somewhere within yourself, you're actually actively building something up, you're actively developing yourself and your understanding, then I think that can be somewhat hollow and meaningless. Just talking isn't really the answer. But I think what you're doing is important, because you're bringing people together, and
I don't want people to be satisfied with just talk. I don't want them to just hear these shows, and because they hear me saying these things, they get some kind of catharsis. I don't want it to just be entertaining. I want it to cause a yearning within people for, well, something wholesome, but also for justice and for vengeance for what has been done to us. I want people to be mad. I want them to be intelligent. I want them to be courageous. And I will do all I can to lead by example. Chris, thanks for the call. Thanks to all the other callers, and thanks to all the listeners. I appreciate everybody who's part of this Renegade Network. Stay tuned, much more to come. Veganator tomorrow night, then my show.
I've always believed that Britain is a country of migrants. I'm Jewish. Some of my family came in the late 19th century. I'm Sephardi on my mother's side.
The Liberal Democrats will always stand up for a Britain that is open, tolerant and diverse. And in that spirit, I very much welcome the Jewish European Election Manifesto, calling for a strengthening of EU hate crime legislation. As a party, we wholeheartedly value the relationship we have with the Jewish community, both in Britain and internationally.